You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Hello, Dodger fans, and welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, and I'm back. And Jeff, thank you for holding it down. I'm back with my guy, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, I had kind of short notice last night, but I think, I don't know, as evidenced by the fact that I went about 12 minutes longer than an episode is supposed to go, I guess I had plenty to say on the topic, so it wasn't the end of the world that I was only talking to myself, because maybe it would have been an hour long if you had been here.
Yeah, you definitely surprised me with the length. Every time I do solo episodes, I'm struggling to get to 20 minutes. But you did have good stuff to talk about, so, I mean, it was...
Yeah, it was the subject matter, and I probably only rambled a little bit, so...
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about a couple questions that Kyle Glazer got in his Dodgers prospect chat, a little bit of news that we got, news that we got around the Dodgers, and an outfielder. But before that, a quick reminder Kyle to Glazer. Subscribe to Locked On Dodgers, yeah. Wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car in the morning, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So Ken Gernick had an article talking about who will be on the Dodgers opening day roster, his predictions. There's a little tidbit at the end of the outfielder section that we're not entirely sure if it's news or speculation on Gernick's end. He's had some open-ended things like that before in regards to, we don't know if it's reported stuff or his ideas, but says there seems to be no expectation for a return by Andrew Toles, who missed all of last season with personal issues. It's not too surprising, but that's the first time we've really seen anything on Andrew Toles since pretty much when they said he wasn't coming during the season.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about him, and so it's, like you said, it's not a surprise, but it the fact that it was just kind of buried in an article and the way it's worded, where he used the word seems, it makes me wonder, you know, there seems to be no expectation for a return. I don't know if somebody said something that gave him that impression, or if it's just no news is no news or whatever. It sucks because Andrew Toles, you know, we liked Andrew Toles. He's a good player. He seems to have a lot of personal demons that he's been battling to overcome. So, you know, I was rooting for the guy, and some of it's just the mystery of having no idea why he left. You know, it's crazy to me that nothing has ever leaked, because there's usually you get little inklings here and there, but we really have no idea what's going on in Andrew Toles' life. And so it makes me worry about him a little bit.
Yeah. Especially in today's, you know, day of information, like I said, we pretty much find out something about a lot of different things. It's probably a matter of maybe the Dodgers protecting him, or the reporters, you know, feeling for whatever it is, or maybe they got word from the Dodgers, you know, and just not to touch that situation. Whatever it is, we hope Andrew Toles gets help, or is fine, or, you know, is going along with his life as well as he can. And yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll never see him again playing, but hopefully not. Maybe he'll get back one day.
Yeah.
All right, so Kyle Glazer, who is he writes for Baseball America. Baseball America. He did a Dodgers prospect chat today. Jeff was monitoring the situation and found a couple of questions that he got with some interesting answers on his end and talking points for us. So we got three of them to go over. We're going to go over one right now. We're going to go to a question about Gavin Lux. He's a guy named Mike. Asked, with all the hype that Lux is getting, would it seem that he is a can't-miss all-star type prospect? And does Kyle have him as a sure thing category or bust potential? Kyle said, there's no such thing as a sure thing prospect. Every single one of them has a path to success and a path to failure. With Lux, you feel very, very confident he will get the most out of his abilities based on his track record and makeup. Nothing is guaranteed, but in the grand scheme of prospects, he's one you feel more comfortable and confident on than many others. Jeff, I know we share that more hopeful, and also we share that for reals, but what do you think about Gavin Lux? We talked a little bit about it last week, but get a bit deeper into it.
Yeah, and I think Glazer kind of put into words my thoughts, which is Lux seems to have a really high floor. It seems like, barring injury, of course, if Lux is healthy, it seems like the worst he's going to be is a solid everyday player. Like, it's hard to picture him being worse than that. And that's a really high floor. And when you look at what he's done in the minor leagues, he is, his ceiling is so high. And so it's really exciting to see what he's going to do. And it's kind of cool to see Glazer, who's not a Dodger fan, he's just a prospect expert and has as high as he is on that. There was actually another question about Lux that somebody said, you grade Lux, you rate him as a grade 60 with the potential to be an all-star, but he's one of the top prospects in baseball and the Indians want him for Lindor. What am I missing? And Glazer said, basically, a low risk, middle infield, major league ready potential all-star is a heck of a valuable asset. People already seem to undersell just how good a 50 grade player actually is. Please don't start doing so with 60 grades. You know, it's on the scouting scale, the 2080 scale, a 60 overall is really, really good for a prospect. So yeah, I am really excited about Gavin Lux. And, you know, we saw when he came up, his major league debut, he hit the ball hard. You know, we've seen flashes of what he can do. And I'm excited to see a full season of it.
Yeah, I mean, Lux, he came up and he seemingly earned a spot on the playoff roster. He wasn't guaranteed to get a chance, but with the Muncy injury last year, he got in. He did relatively well, and, you know, he showed the Dodgers why they have faith in him and why they like him so much and why everyone else likes him so much. And usually I'm more on a not a pessimistic side, but I don't ever want to get too excited for guys just because, defense mechanism to a certain extent. But he seems like a guy that, you know, is going to come in and be, like you said, at least an everyday player, which is more than you can ask for anything, even a first-round pick. My concern still, at least for this season coming up with Lux, is just I see that he can – I think he'll be a more peak and valley guy. I know you said – different, but I don't know. I see like him being a guy that's rides high on confidence, and once, you know, he goes into a little streak, I feel it can get into his head a little bit and maybe get longer than it needs to be. But once he rides hot, then he's riding, you know, scorching the earth. So hopefully he can even that out and he can be, you know, more consistent player, or hopefully he can be a consistent player. But remains to be seen. I think he'll be a little peak in value this year, but he'll kind of be fine the rest of the way out.
Yeah, and for me, the reason that I don't expect that is just because most guys who are streaky like that, there's an obvious hole in their game. You know, when Puig was streaky, he would go through streaks where you throw him anything off speed that ends up outside the strike zone, and he's going to flail at it with his butt in the third base coach's box and his bat, you know, nowhere near the ball. Lux doesn't appear to have any glaring holes like that. You know, I'm really his only knock in the minor leagues even was his throwing arm, making the throws from shortstop. And so offensively, he doesn't seem to have any, obviously he's not a perfect hitter, but he doesn't seem to have any big holes. And so that's kind of why I expect him to be somewhat consistent, especially by rookie standards.
Yeah, so that'll definitely be fun to watch in the next year. As it appears that he will not be traded for any of the guys. When we come back, we're going to talk about one of those guys that could be traded and talk about another player that I've kind of dismissed in the past, but Kyle brings up some good points about him, so make sure you stay locked on Dodgers. All right, we're back, and we're going to get into our obscure former Dodger of the day. I searched 2014 Dodgers and found a guy that was pretty obscure and fits my theme of picking guys at their last stop in the MLB was with the Dodgers. And this is another guy who was like that, a reliever by the name of Chris Perez. Chris Perez was a Dodger in 2014. He came over as a free agent and he was supposed to help out the bullpen. He had some success in Cleveland. Before that, as a closer. But the year before in Cleveland, he struggled. Dodgers brought him in. He didn't do terrible, but he didn't do that great. Pitched in 49 games, had a 4.7 ERA, 5.07 FIP. Nothing to write home about, nothing really to remember. And then in 2014, it was interesting because in 2013, him and his wife were arrested for marijuana possession charges, and the Dodgers still brought him in, which was interesting at the time.
Weren't they the ones who had the drugs mailed to their dog?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, at the time, or still, marijuana is not tested for in the major leagues, so, but it was illegal wherever they live, in Ohio, so that's why they got arrested. But, yeah, other than that, there wasn't much to him as a Dodger, and he's the definition of obscure former Dodger.
Yeah, that 2014 team was really interesting because the bullpen, it was kind of a, let's just get a bunch of former closers and see what we can make a bullpen out of. Because you had, you know, Kenley Jansen, who was the Dodgers closer. You had Brandon League, who had had 37 saves for the Mariners a few years before. You had Brian Wilson, who had been the Giants closer for several years. You had Chris Perez, who had been the Indians closer for, what, 5 years? 4 years? Seems like maybe there was one other one. Maybe not. Maybe it's just those four closers. But, yeah, having four guys who have been legitimate 30-save closers in their careers in one bullpen, it seemed like the makings of a really good bullpen. But those four guys, Kenley was the – actually, ERA-wise, League was the best of those four. Must have been Brandon League's.
That was the year where he got lucky with a lot of double plays.
That's right. I talked to him in the locker room the next year in spring training.
Because his whip was 1.4. Yeah. He had the highest whip.
And FIP-wise, yeah, Kenley was the only one who was good FIP-wise. So, yeah, so it didn't quite work out, but it was an interesting approach to a bullpen anyway.
All right. Let's get into the next couple questions that Kyle had on his chat. The first one, we'll stick to bullpen talk. Matt, again, named Matt, asked about Dennis Santana. It says that Baseball America has Santana as a closer of the future, but it sounded like everything backed way up since his injury. He asked if there's still room for Santana after his move to the pen, and is his sinker still plus slash plus plus? Kyle said Santana had an 8 ERA as a starter and a 1.72 ERA in relief this past year. Bullpen is where he's projected to end up, and when the Dodgers finally put him in that role, he excelled. His sinker is still plus-plus pitch that touches 97, and his slider will work fine in relief. Now that he's in the bullpen, he can focus on doing what he does best. I kind of dismissed Santana a couple weeks ago, stemming from when he left the team in the, after a bad pitch, bad performance. But I guess he came back and pitched well out of the bullpen. I really didn't follow him after that.
Yeah, I was he was kind of off my radar too, so I was a little bit surprised to read that and interested to read that because I kept seeing him showing up on Dodgers prospect lists and I kind of thought, well, that's just residual, that's the Yadier Alvarez effect, you know. Well, you can't drop a guy off a list too quickly, but yeah, apparently as a reliever maybe he found something. And a 97 mile an hour sinker is That's a really good pitch. And we've seen, didn't Santana have some big slow breaking ball of some sort?
I don't know if that was one of his pitches. Maybe he probably had a curveball, but not a good curveball.
Okay. That's what it was. I remember he threw a really good curveball in his major league debut in Colorado. And I remember thinking, oh, that's a good pitch. But then later I realized, oh, yeah, it's actually not one of his better pitches. He just happened to break off a good one right there. But, you know, as a reliever, a 97-mile-an-hour sinker and a slider is all you need. And so if they could get that figured out, he could be some pretty big bullpen help for them, which is a really big deal because, like you said, we had kind of written him off of contributing to the Dodgers, and now it seems like maybe he actually might have a future with them, which is exciting. He's a very likable guy. So
Yeah, he pitched in 10 games as a reliever, had the 1.72 ERA, 15.2 innings in those 10 games, 179 average against. He had 21 strikeouts in those 15 innings, so you know, seemingly performed well, but still small sample size. But like Kyle said, if they're going to keep him in the bullpen and that's all he has to do is come in and throw a sinker at 97 with a slider that probably cuts into the dirt, then he should be fine. And it's one guy that, like I said, we didn't have on our radar that could be a potential guy in the bullpen because he's already on the 40-man roster, so he'll already, you know, they won't have to make room for him. So we'll see. Hopefully he took the offseason serious and he's ready to go and he's ready to compete for a spot in the bullpen.
Yeah, one thing I really like about Dennis Santana is that he always signs autograph for kids. My kids have gotten his autograph at spring training and in Salt Lake at a Oklahoma City Dodgers game against the Salt Lake Bees. And yeah, he just comes and he just signs for everybody. And he even, with the baseball card he was signing for my son this past summer, he actually turned the card and signed it sideways just because the way the card was laid out, he wanted to sign it where it wouldn't interfere with the rest of the cards. So I thought that was cool of him, you know. And his middle name's Anfernee, so it's hard to go wrong with that. So.
Yeah, true that. All right, last question came from a guy named Curtis. He asked, who would you trade for Betts and Price, taking on all money? And then Kyle said that to take on all of Price's contract obviously limits the return somewhat, but in that scenario, he wouldn't hesitate to trade Kaber Ruiz and Jeter Downs, plus two more prospects in the 11 to 30 range for the Dodgers. And he says if he's the Dodgers and he has prospect depth and you need a starter and an impact right-handed hitter to get over the top and be better positioned for the World Series, he's okay with overpaying. That's definitely more than what we've talked about or considered in terms of what they'd give up for that package. So, Jeff, would you be fine with what he said or kind of more what we've talked about in the past?
Yeah, I am not convinced it would take that much. If they were taking on Price's contract, if the Dodgers were going to give that, I feel like they might also I feel like the Dodgers might try to get the Red Sox to take A.J. Pollock to offset some of the money. I guess I don't expect it to take that much, but I wouldn't be upset at all about that trade that Glazer kind of lays out, you know. And he said, depending on who the other two prospects in the 11 to 30 range are, some guys I'd be sadder to lose than others. Or somewhere elsewhere in the chat, Glazer said he's shocked that the Red Sox haven't tried to trade for Edwin Rios yet because he's a clear upgrade for them at first base. And so it would be interesting to see if Edwin Rios was, if they wanted him as part of that trade, but I feel like Rios is a good enough prospect that he would have to be instead of Downs or Ruiz, not in addition to. So yeah, if it was Ruiz and Downs and two guys who we've barely heard of, who are kind of bottom lower on the Dodgers prospect list, I'd be totally fine with that. I really like the idea of the Dodgers having Betts and even Price, you know, like we talked about last week. Even if Price wasn't good, you know, the best case scenario is David Price rekindles the magic and is really good for the Dodgers. Worst case scenario, he's either hurt or ineffective innings eater, and either one of those the Dodgers could handle. So I think the benefits of having Betts and even having Price would absolutely be worth that trade.
Yeah, when you think about the Betts Price trade, and it's, you know, 1 year of Betts guaranteed, and then, you know, you're taking on a lot of money with Price, and you expect the price to drop. So to have Kaber and Jeter, like I said, it wouldn't be the worst thing, but I would imagine they could get away with maybe only one of them, and then dealing from their depth. We've talked about in the Rule 5, when the Rule 5 draft was coming around with how to protect guys, next year they're going to have to protect even more guys. So they, you know, seemingly have to start getting rid of some of those guys because there's not going to be room for them, or get rid of some other guys at the top on the actual roster right now, and then those guys fill in. So, you know, I feel like if they can put together a package of four or five guys with only one top guy, that'd be more ideal for me. But like I said, at the end of the day, if it's, even if it was Kaber and Jeter and Edwin Rios and someone else, you're getting Mookie Betts, and you're not going to be too upset about it because it's no one that's seemingly going to start for you in the next year. And with Will Smith emerging, you know, Kaber became expendable. They have two other guys deeper in the farm system at catcher. And, you know, Jeter Downs and Josiah Gray are kind of wild cards because, you know, the Dodgers basically got them for nothing. So if you're going to make trades like that in order to use those guys to trade, then you go ahead and do so. We just, you know, feel connected to some of these younger guys. But at the end of the day, if the Dodgers improve the major league team, we can't really complain too much.
Yeah, and some of it is I don't feel a big connection to Jeter Downs. I've actually – it might be because when I watched him play live in Rancho Cucamonga, he just wasn't that impressive to me. Like, I believe he's a good player, a good prospect. I think he'll be a major leaguer, but nothing about him just screamed, this guy's untouchable. And Kaber Ruiz, I'm really excited about him, but I also understand, you know, there might not be a huge point to the Dodgers keeping him if they have Will Smith as their starter. I don't mind the idea of them of using Kaber as the backup, or, you know, having him and Smith basically split time. You know, I think we saw in, when was it, 2017 with Barnes and Grandal, basically the Dodgers had the best catcher in baseball. It was just two guys at once. And so they could go that approach again, but, you know, realistically, chances are they're probably going to trade Kaber if in the right trade, whether it's this offseason or this July or whenever it is. So Mookie Betts is about as good a guy as I can picture. Basically, I think Mookie Betts is the best player in baseball who is likely to be traded sometime in the next year. So,
yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Thank you to Kyle Glazer for having the Dodger chat today. Gave us something to talk about. And we got to put Dennis Santana back in our radar, so we'll have to, you know, be on the lookout for him. Jeff, you got anything else to add before we head out?
No, other than I would recommend that everybody go read the whole Kyle Glazer chat if you have any interest in Dodgers prospects. It was really, really, it was long and it was interesting. I mean, he probably answered, just scrolling, I don't know, 40 or 50 questions. And some of them were, I mean, he got several questions about the same guys, and so he's sometimes given the same answer multiple ways, but there was a lot of interesting stuff in there, including you know, some stuff about guys who I've barely heard of that kind of piqued my interest and got me to research them a little bit. Yeah, the Dodgers have a really good farm system, and it was a really, really interesting chat that Glazer did, so definitely go to baseballamerica.com and find that. So
cool. All right, thank you for listening to Locked On Dodgers. We'll be back tomorrow to talk. We'll have a couple more Buster Olney top 10 positions to talk about and maybe some other stuff to talk about. And who knows, maybe some news, maybe not. But either way, we'll be back here tomorrow to talk about it. Remember, you can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya, whatever you use, wherever you think we sound best. If you like the show, please show us, subscribe, as I said. Download, listen, tell your friends, tell your family, tell any Dodger fans in your life about a podcast that you listen to and you think they should too. And please make sure to rate and review us on Apple or wherever you listen. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. You can find Jeff on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you ever want to talk to us or give us a show topic or have a question or comment or concern, our DMs on social media are open, or you can text us or call us at 323-863-LOCK. That's 323-863-5625. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you later.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.